Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Enslaved by Craig Halloran, narrated by Tim Campbell. Chapter 1. A hazy sun hung high in the sky. The glaring light beat down on Nath's back. Sweat ran down his bare chest and spine. It was one of the hottest days he could remember. Humid, muggy, and steamy air amplified his crowded surroundings. The irons around his wrists and ankles jangled as he swung his sledgehammer, breaking apart the heavy rocks in the quarry. Chips of stone flew away. His lower back burned like fire. It all started 5 days after Prawl, the orc slaver, took him into Slavertown. That was 425 days ago. Nath had been suffering ever since. With arms as hard as iron and corded in muscle, Nath brought the hammer down again. The rocks split in two. He wasn't the only one hard at it. A handful of men swung heavy hammers on shaky legs. Hope had long ago fled their faces as they tried to pace themselves. One man, standing close to Nath, with arms little bigger than the hammer's handle, brought down his hammer. It skipped off the rock into the man's foot. "Ugh!" The man went down, wincing in pain as he held his foot. Tears swelled in his eyes. "I don't deserve this. I don't." "Get up," Nath said in a harsh whisper. His eyes swept over the quarry. Burly orcs were posted throughout the vast pit of rocks as slave guards. They wore dyed black leather armor and had scourges in hand and black clubs on their hips. At the moment, their backs were turned toward the ogre pushing a huge wheelbarrow up a ramp to the top level. Nath crouched down by the man. "You have to stand, no matter how much it hurts, or they will whip you." The haggard man looked into Nath's eyes.
"I don't care. I can't do this. I'm not meant for it. See these fingers?"
he said, holding them up to Nath's face.
"I'm a musician. I play the strings and keys. My music brings peace."
"The only music you are going to hear today is the crack of a whip on your back if you don't hustle up," Nath said, looking around. The other laborers were pounding away, oblivious to anything surrounding them but their own misery. The man on the ground wasn't very old, maybe 30. His hands and features were delicate, his eyes as soft as his skin. He was new to Slavertown, or at least to the rock quarry. Nath hooked him under his arms and lifted him up.
"Stay up."
"I can barely stand," the man moaned. "I think my foot is broken. Surely the guards will understand."
"No, they won't," Nath said. "Stand and swing. You must."
Normally, Nath would ignore someone else's trouble. The laborers came and went, and most of them were never seen again. Some of them died in the quarry either by accident or at the hands of the guards. Nath had seen it all. Merciless cruelty. It defied reason. He looked at the man.
"What is your name?"
"Homer,"
the man said, offering Nath a shaking hand.
"And you?"
"Nath. Listen, Homer. You have to pick up that hammer, no matter how bad it hurts, and swing. You can deal with your foot tonight. Be strong, Homer. Be strong."
Homer swallowed and nodded.
I will."
He picked his sledgehammer up to the waist and landed a solid shot on the boulder.
"I can do this."
He half swung again, grimacing as he leaned on his stronger foot. His half-hearted swings were pitiful, but at least Homer was moving. Nath lifted his hammer high and brought it down hard. He paced himself, stealing glances at Homer. The man was pitiful. All of the slaves were. They were brought in and broken down with hard labor and barely enough food and water to sustain them. Many cried in their cells at night. The biggest and most rugged of the men cried the worst. Others, it seemed, became sick with fever, gave up, and died. Scores of men and women had been hauled off dead since Nath had been there. He dug the graves of many of them. Vengeance burned inside him. He pictured Prawl's pitted and lumpy orcan face on the rock. He brought the hammer down hard and busted the rock into pieces.
"You swing with anger," Homer muttered. "I have no fire in me. I'll die here, won't I? I don't want to die, Nath, but I cannot bear this."
"Then don't die, Homer," Nath said, taking another swing. "The ones who live are the ones who want to live. The ones who die give up."
"I don't want to be a slave. I can't do this. I don't deserve this. I need to use my gift."
Nath shook his head. He didn't want to hear it. He'd heard it all before. A lot of people were brought to Slavertown to be bought and sold as slaves. Among them were many beautiful women, all of which were well cared for. Among the others were men of different skills and crafts. They were broken down and sold on the auction blocks, desperate for any kind of freedom that would be better than living in Slavertown. But there was another group that came into the fold as well, the undesirables, men of ill repute, thieves that had been caught, family that was betrayed. People that the societies of the world didn't want, so they were turning into slaves. They worked day and night in the prison-like conditions, creating items that the slave lords would sell for profit on the markets. It made Nath sick. He drew up a picture of Cullen in his mind. The dwarven member of the Black Hand had been nothing but nasty to Nath. He smote the hammer in the imaginary image of the dwarf's bearded face.
"Hate the Black Hand."
"What's that?"
Homer said. He was sitting down now, holding his foot and rubbing it.
"The Black what?"
"Homer, get up," Nath said.
Out of the corner of his eye, he caught a slave guard's fixed glance on Homer.
"Quick, get up, they are coming."
"I don't care," Homer said. "I'll just have to make them listen to reason."
The slave guard marched right at Homer, brandishing a scourge of many tails in his hand.
"Homer, listen to me. They don't know what reason is. Get up now," Nath whispered.
"I'll just have to teach them, then."
The orc soldier didn't say a word. He stood over top of Homer, glowered at him, and swung. The lash slapped hard into the flesh of Homer's back. The fragile man let out a blood-curdling scream. The orc lashed Homer repeatedly with hard, overhand swings.
"Please, stop,"
Homer begged in a cracking voice. He clung to a rock as if it would save him.
"Please."
The orc didn't let up. Fire ignited in Nath's veins. He cocked back his sledgehammer and swung. Chapter 2 Nath's hammer connected with the orc guard's chest. A loud crack of bone giving way followed. The orc stumbled backwards, snorting and wheezing. His eyes were wide as the scourge fell from his hairy fingers. There was a sharp whistle, all at once the other guards converged on Nath. They came at him all at once, brandishing their scarred-up clubs made from wood as hard as stone. Nath deflected a club on the handle of his hammer. He put his boot in the orc's gut. Confined by the irons on his legs, he shuffled out of harm's way as best he could. He blocked a few more shots and ducked his head away from a swing that would have busted him in the ear. He jabbed the hammer hard in the heavy orc's bulging belly.
"Game to the ground," a husky voice shouted from somewhere. "Quit swinging like fools, he's too quick for you."
Using his irons to his advantage, Nath hopped like a frog out of harm's way. Moving quickly, he hopped behind one guard, whacked him on the back, hopped away, and hit another.
"Ha, ha,"
Nath said with glee. It had been a while since he'd taken a shot at the guards. It felt good to bring them down to the ground. An orc rushed him with a snarl on its sweating lips, its little tusk teeth protruding from its mouth. Nath busted it square in the jaw with his hammer. It fell. He hopped over it onto another. All around him, the other slaves cheered. They let out raucous cries of encouragement. They made a clamor by beating their hammers on the rocks. Even the ogre pushing the wheelbarrow up the ramp started to clap. Then suddenly it picked up its full wheelbarrow and threw it down on the guards.
"Fools!" the same orc in voice of command called out in a now booming voice. "Do I have to handle everything myself?"
Nath's neck hairs stood on end. He spun toward the source of the voice. A jolt of energy blasted through his entire body. His irons turned white hot, burning the flesh on his neck, wrists, and ankles.
"Yeah!"
Unable to move his wooden limbs, he fell to his knees. He swore his eyebrows simmered. Burnt hair smelled of icky smoke. A guard slipped into view, swinging a club. Stunned, Nath couldn't move. The club connected with the side of his head. Chock. He fell over on his side and lay there motionless, in a body that felt like it was filled with sand.
"It hurts.
Bad."
The guards got in a few more licks, hammering at his body before a sharp voice called them off.
"Enough. He isn't to be maimed unless I say he's to be maimed. Did I say he was to be maimed?"
The orcs backed off, heads down and shaking. Nath blinked, and with a painful grunt rolled onto his back. Fuzzy, colorful spots obscured his vision. He managed to prop himself up on his elbows. A man appeared behind him. Medium in height and slender in build, the man had an orcan nose with big nostrils and the coarse black hair tied back in three ponytails. He wore the customary ring mail with a brown tunic over it.
In his hand he carried a black-handled sledgehammer with runes woven in the head. With a thick tongue, Nath said,
"Oh, it's you, Foster. I thought I recognized your rotten voice, but I wasn't sure until the smell came over, and even then I had my doubts until I saw your face. Boy, those eyebrows sure do like each other."
"Your tongue does you more harm than good, prisoner," Foster said, pointing the hammer at Nath's bare chest. "You must learn respect or die from a lack of it."
"I like your hammer. Are you going to help me pound rock, too?" Nath said, looking right at the foreboding tool.
As for respect, for what? Orcs and slavers? Tell me you are..."
A charge of energy flared from Foster's hammer. Zap! Nath's teeth clacked together. Pain lanced through his entire body. He flattened out on his back, trembling. All he could smell was the singed stink of his own hairs. Foster looked down on him with a crooked smile on his face. Nath tried to speak, but he had no control over his body.
"You are a glutton for punishment, prisoner," Foster said, sneering at Nath.
He spit dark juice on the rocks. It dripped down his chin. He wiped it on the sleeves of his robes.
"Thanks to your reckless efforts, all the rest of the prisoners in the quarry will suffer as well. Especially that sappy friend you defended. He'll have the worst of all. In the end, he will feel the whipping would have been worth it. He will hate you for it. They all will. Put him in a hold."
Nath tried to speak, but only a sound that was like a creaking door came out. Two guards picked him up by the arms and legs and carried him away like a rolled-up carpet. He caught glimpses of the other slaves being corralled and beaten. The ogre was controlled by a special collar that glowed with blue stones around its neck. The ogre sat against the wall on the ramp, sucking its thumb like a baby. It sniveled and let out a cry. Tremors ran through Nath's body. "That hammer Foster carries kicks like a mule. Gads, that hurts. Where did it come from? He didn't even touch me with it." He was carried beyond the barn-like slave barracks where Prawl had brought him initially, to a stone building behind it, guarded by more orcs. It was the pen, the place where prisoners and unruly slaves were taken. Inside, the walls were thick with grime, covered with cobwebs in the corners and reeking so badly he almost didn't dare breathe. Carried down one level of steps, Nath was tossed into a small stone cell. The orcs each gave him a stiff kick in the ribs. They hustled out of the pen and slammed the steel door behind them. Darkness closed over Nath. Lying on a smelly, sticky bed of hay, he groaned. Chapter 3. An outline of gray light framed the cell door that barred Nath's escape from the small hold. Since he'd been imprisoned, he'd become very familiar with his cramped surroundings. He counted every block and ran his fingers over the lines of cracking mortar. None of the heavy stones budged. He wasn't going anywhere if the slave lords didn't let him. Nath had pushed up the straw in the dry back corner of the cell. The rest of the floor was wet and slimy. Water seeped through the walls and ran across the floor of the small cell that didn't have enough room to stretch out in. He'd managed to get some of the straw to dry, giving himself a place to lay his head down when he slept. His slumbers were restless, however. Moans of misery carried down the walls. Little bugs crawled all over him. His wrists and ankles were swollen inside the iron. The metal collar always bit into his neck. All he did was sigh every few hours or so, long, lengthy, and heavy. Punishment was something Nath had gotten used to. He'd been imprisoned for over a year, and he'd tried to escape several times. His efforts were thwarted each time. Everywhere he went, the slavers watched him, but he managed to slip them a few times. He'd made it as far as the inside of the outer wall before the guards piled on him the last time. Usually he was put in the stockades, not fed a few meals, and was whipped a few times. But it was him and him alone, him and his noisy shackles. This time his punishment was new. No light and little food or water. He crawled toward the cell door. A plate and cup made from baked clay sat near the door. Water from the ceiling dripped into the cup. Nath flicked off a bug from the cup's rim. Swishing it around a few times, he discovered he had at least a swallow. He wet his parched lips with it. Ah, that was delicious. Water straight from the moldy rock. It couldn't be any better, he said deliriously. He pounded on the door.
I bet it doesn't get any better out there than it does in here. Your well water stinks. This water is good as gravy. Ha ha!
Nath lined the cup back up underneath the water and crawled into his dry corner. He brushed his bangs away from his eyes. He wondered how Homer was faring. The musician might be dead for all he knew. Perhaps Nath did make it worse for the man by getting involved. One thing he'd learned was that the slaver Foster was a man, or half-Orcan man, of his word. He'd dogged Nath almost daily since he'd been there. Every punishment Nath received was a result of Foster's intervention. He could see the gloating orc's face in his mind. I hate orcs. All of them. Always. The orcs secured Slaver Town with an iron fist. The merciless brutes poked, prodded, and harassed every human they could find. There were other races, too. No full elves, but a few unlucky part-elves that got the worst of the harassment. There were some dwarves, halflings, and gnomes, all of which seemed to have given up on life. There was a forever lingering emptiness behind their eyes. Nath tried to speak with many of them, but they avoided him the best they could. Nath, out of all of them, got the worst treatment. Perhaps that was why they wanted to avoid him. With his head wedged in a corner of the wall, Nath muttered, "Why me?" He knew why he was there. The Black Hand sold him to Prawl to get rid of him forever. All the while, they had his magic items and Fang. But Nath was certain when he came to Slaver Town he would be sold, or at least had been sold, according to what Prawl had said. But his buyer had yet to show up. He had no idea who owned him, not that he could be owned, but whoever didn't seem interested in him. Nath thought he was sought out for his grand looks, but he was coated in nothing but dirt and grit. The locks of his lustrous red hair were brown. He hadn't washed since he'd been there. He was as soiled and filthy as a pig in mud. Forgotten. It didn't stop him from stirring conversation when he could. He tried to talk to the others, but even in his cell above he was isolated. He poked at Foster, hoping the half-orc would give him some kind of information. Foster's only concern was that Nath wasn't hurt or damaged too much. He protected Nath for somebody. Nath wanted to know who that somebody was. It kept him going. The Black Hand gnawed at him. Prawl's face angered him. And then there was still the entire reason why he left the Sanctuary of Dragonhome in the first place. He needed to find Mayfawn and the murderous Trihideen. He needed to find the Caligan. But until he escaped, all of that had almost been set aside and forgotten. Nath closed his eyes and slept. He saw Dragonhome in his dreams. From within, it burned. Bang! Nath jerked. Soaked in sweat, he wiped the perspiration from his face. Bang! It sounded like someone was hitting the metal door with a sledgehammer. Stay back, a gruff voice said on the other side of the door. Stay back! I am back, Nath fired back. Normally the guards tapped on the door when they brought food and water. This time it was different. The banging on the door was even offensive for them. Bang! He yelled at the top of his lungs. I said I'm back, you obnoxious brutes! The locking mechanism on the door popped and cracked. The door, groaning on its hinges, swung outward. Nath shielded his eyes. Even though the outside light was dim, it glared like a burning sun. An Orcan guard ducked inside. He pushed Nath against the wall with a long stick with a man-catcher end on it. The metal jaws collapsed around Nath's arms. Stay back! I'm not going anywhere. You have my arms pinned, idiot. Isn't that the purpose of a man-catcher? Bring him in, the orc said. Nath assumed someone was coming to speak to him, perhaps his buyer. His hopes fled the moment the fattest, ugliest man he'd ever seen was shoved inside the door. The fat man got stuck in the frame. With a hard shove, he stumbled inside. Who's this? The orc squeezed by the fat man as he backed out of the hold. Your cellmate, heh heh. Have fun sharing your meals with that one. Chapter 4 Nath caught a solid glimpse of the puffy man before the cell door closed them in. He had short brown hair and a head that looked like the size of an antelope's on his bloated body, and a grimy apron hung over his clothing. The man squirmed around, wheezing as his hands pawed all over the cell. He squeezed Nath's ankle. Pardon me, Nath said.
Gah!
The man hollered in a shrill voice. In the dark, the full weight of his hefty body slammed into the door. The clay glass and plate somehow crunched underneath his girth. With a shaky voice, the man said,
Who said that?
I did, Nath replied dully.
Are you a ghost?
What? No, I'm Nath.
Didn't you hear me speaking when you were brought in?
I couldn't hear anything but the blood rushing through my ears, the man said. Are you going to hurt me?
I don't know. I'll have to think about it. Meaty hands pounded on the door.
Guards! Guards! Help me! There's a ghost threatening to kill me in here! Guards!
I'm not a ghost, fool, Nath said, completely unable to hide his irritation. As bad as his situation was, he never imagined it could have gotten any worse. Now he was smashed inside his cell with a man who every time he moved bumped into Nath. You felt my leg. I'm flesh and blood like you, just not as fleshy. Try not to panic. It will only make things worse.
Oh, I don't like the dark. I get night terrors, you see. I can't do this, the man said. Guards, please let me out.
You haven't been in here a minute. Trust me, they won't let you out anytime soon. Nath shifted away from the man the best he could. Hey, what's your name?
I'm Radigan. What's your name, spirit?
I told you.
Oh, you did? I don't recall. Well, sorry, my thoughts are so distorted. Could you repeat it again?
Nath.
Hey, nice to meet you, Nath. I wish I could see you. Are you sure you won't hurt me? No, better yet, will you promise you won't hurt me?
Nath's eyes adjusted. He could make out the warm body and outline of Radigan's features clearly. The hefty man trembled like a nervous mouse. His head swiveled side to side on the meaty folds of his neck. Nath said, I promise I won't hurt you.
Oh, goodness, that is wonderful.
Radigan crawled across the cell. His searching hands touched all over Nath.
Oh, sorry, is that you?
Yes, you need to keep your hands to yourself, Radigan. I hate to break them. Radigan froze.
But you said you wouldn't hurt me.
I could have lied. This place is full of liars, as I'm certain you know. And I must be an awfully terrible person to be put in this hold.
Oh, my. I never thought about that.
Radigan scratched his head.
Oh, please don't hurt me,
he whined. Just stay on your side, Radigan. Can you do that? Nath used his hands to guide the man toward the other side of the wall. That's your side, this is my side, do you understand?
Yes.
Radigan moved to the other side of the wall, but their hips were still touching.
It's squishy and wet over here. Is your side dry?
Radigan, you are in my cell. I am not in yours. I make the rules.
I bet I'm bigger than you. Where I come from, big guys make the rules.
Is that so? Nath popped the man in the shoulder with his fist.
Ow! What did you hit me for?
To make it clear who the boss of this cell is. Droning, Radigan said,
But that hurt. You said you wouldn't hurt me.
Hurting you, by my definition, would be causing you painful and irreparable damage. Do you want that?
No.
It's settled, then. I'm the boss, right?
Yes, the boss.
Good. Nath leaned his head back and took a breath. The cell, normally cool, had become warmer. He shifted. Can you scoot over more?
I'm against the wall now. I'll try.
Radigan grunted and groaned.
Is that better?
No. Just be still, Radigan. I have to ask, how is it that you came to be put in here? For all intents and purposes, you seem rather harmless. Radigan's voice became sinister.
Well, appearances can be deceiving.
What?
Just jesting. I really am harmless, but sometimes I try to convince the others otherwise. Anyway, I'm one of the cooks, and well, they caught me stealing the slave lord's cream cakes. You know the ones they served at the auctions with the raspberry and blueberry glaze toppings? Well, I made those.
Radigan's belly let out a rumble that sounded like a roaring lion.
Excuse me, I get excited when I talk about the cream cakes. Anyhow, I'm stuffed in here for the time being to teach me a lesson.
No offense, Radigan, but it looks to me that you've been eating cream cakes for quite some time, and only now they're cracking down on you?
Yeah, you make a good point. I don't know. They just got mad at me all of a sudden and brought me in here. It just happened.
He sobbed.
Nath, I'm scared. What if they don't let me out of here? I don't deserve to be in here over a few cream cakes.
A few?
Well, maybe I overdid it, but I was born here. I've been eating like this all my life. They never minded before. Besides, I was never skinny. Right out of the womb, I was a husky baby. My mother and father are the same. We're just big people.
Huh, Nath remarked.
Well, if you say so, I believe you. So, Radigan, you've been here all of your life?
I've never even seen the trees outside the walls.
Interesting. How about I ask you a few questions? Radigan started snoring. It was the loudest snore Nath had ever heard. He pushed on the man, who kept on snoring. Radigan? Radigan. The big man teetered on top of him. Radigan! Chapter 5. Miserable, Nath sat fully awake, thanks to Radigan's heavy snoring, trying to sort his thoughts. He recollected the orc sniggering when they brought the food. Nath's suffering was their pleasure. By the time Radigan woke, at least a full day had passed. The disoriented man tried to prowl the cramped cell like a wild cat in a cage.
Where am I? Where am I?
He crushed into Nath and screamed.
What are you?
Calm down, Radigan. It's Nath, and you are in a cell below the dungeons.
Oh, jeez. I was hoping all of that was a nightmare and I would wake up back in my bed.
He boo-hooed.
I can't believe this is really happening. They need me. After all, I make the cream cakes as well as other things. My riblet stew is unsurpassed.
I'm sure they'll come around. Nath pushed Radigan aside and moved back into his spot. When the man slept, it was all but impossible to move him, and he'd flattened out on the cell floor, snoring like a bear. Let's just try to think about other things, shall we?
Like what?
Radigan's belly groaned.
Oh, I'm so hungry. I feel as if I haven't eaten in a week. Nath, I eat all the time. I can't not eat.
Just settle yourself. The guards brought some food while you slept. You can even have my share. Radigan sniffed.
Is that meat? Bread?
It's duck and flatbread. Not much, but it might tide you over for a few. In the dark, Radigan snatched the plate of food from Nath's fingers. You are quick for a big fellow. Grunting, Radigan gobbled up the food. He ate as if he was the only person in the entire world. He nibbled the bones clean and sucked the grease from his fingers. It reminded Nath of Prawl eating roasted rabbits. I hate Prawl. I hate them all. Radigan finished the food and water with a hearty belch. He thumped his chest a few times.
Thank you, Nath. I appreciate you saving me some.
That was all of it.
You didn't eat?
Nath shrugged. I'm getting used to being hungry. Besides, I wasn't really hungry anyway. His belly rumbled.
You show mercy where mercy is not shown. I swear, Nath, once I get out of here, I will make you a cream cake and get it to you. Somehow, I have ways, you know.
Nath's brows lifted. About that. Radigan, you say you've been here all of your life?
Born and raised.
So given that there are only several thousand people behind these walls, I wonder, has anyone ever escaped?
We aren't to speak of such things,
Radigan whispered.
They'll flog me.
So someone has.
No, I don't know.
Nath could tell from the tightness in the man's voice he knew something. I will let you have the entire next meal if you tell me more about what you know. Otherwise, I just might eat it all.
That is cruel. Besides, one has been trying to escape, but the guards always catch him. He's a striking man with golden eyes. I spied him in the stockades once or twice. Trust me, you don't want to go through what he does.
That's me, Radigan. Nath slapped the man on the shoulder. I'm the one that tries to escape and gets caught time and again. These shackles slow me, and the guard's eyes are everywhere.
Not everywhere.
What?
Nothing. I didn't say nothing.
Radigan bawled up.
Oh, please don't ask me any more. It will only lengthen my sentence. I had no idea you were the one they called the special.
Special?
Yes, that is what they say. Oh, I did not know that it was you I shared the cell with. I should seal my lips forever, and I would if I didn't need to eat.
Nath reached over and put his hand on Radigan's shoulders. Tell me, what do they say about me? I must know. Who has bought me? What are they planning to do with me? He shook the man. Tell me.
I don't know. I mean, for one such as you with divine looks, I would think you would be put in auction and fetch a very high price, perhaps the highest price. But you are being put through a grinder, busting the rocks in the quarry, churning in the plow races. It's as if they are tormenting you in spite of yourself. Someone wants to break you, methinks.
Radigan smacked his lips.
Of course, I'm just saying that from the top of my head. You are...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?